Well, guys, again, thank you for being here today. What is it that God is trying to say to you? What is it that God wants from us? What is it that God wants us to do? Have you thought about that? I think we live in a time where things kind of get distorted. We have this horizontal connection with people, and that's where we love others. But we have this vertical connection where we love God and we hear from God. And the scripture says, if you know my sheep hear my voice, they know me. Do we hear his voice? I think a lot of people have good intentions, but they still mess up in seeking the will of God. What is God really trying to say? What is God doing? I think of a story where a man was at the end of his rope. He's hurting. He doesn't know what to do, and he's reaching out and crying out to God, God, what is it you want from me? Speak to me. Speak to me. And so he does what some people do occasionally. He just throws open the Bible, and he goes, I'm going to point at a verse. Speak to me, God. And he does it, and he reads, Judas went out and hanged himself. So he says, that can't be right, so I'm going to do it again. Father, I'm going to pray and show me. And he comes to another verse and it says, go and do likewise. And then he says, that can't be right. So he goes, let's try one more time. God, speak to me. What are you saying to me? And you must do quickly. How do we know when we're messing up? How do we know when we don't know what to do? I think of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And it's a very important verse. Listen to this. There is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right, but in the end, it's the way to death. There can be things that we do that seem so right, but yet they're actually not. So what are we doing wrong? What is kind of blocking our signal? And I want to talk about some things I think that maybe are blocking our signal so that we're not hearing really from God. We're not really hearing some things. And the first thing is, we just don't ask God. We just don't ask God. That's one of the most common mistakes. We want God's will in our lives. We want to know what God is designed us for. But we don't even pray and ask God for direction. God, where are you leading me? Where are you sending me? What's going on? James addressed this issue in his book, The Brother of Jesus. He says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. You see, God gives wisdom to all who will ask, and it will be given to him. And the problem for me, and maybe for many of you, is instead of directly going to God, I tend to maybe go to other people, like Margie, what do you think about this? Or Sandra, what do you think about this? Or, hey, what do you think we should do about this? Or I'll go to my friends. Hey, Tony, you're an expert in this. What do you think about this? Instead of going to God saying, God, what are you saying? What is your will? I mean, people, I remember growing up when we actually read newspapers and you didn't have to do everything online. People would like quickly go to the horoscopes. What does my horoscope say for the day? And before some of you say, well, I never did that. You know what I had when I was a kid? I had a magic eight ball. Remember those things? Will she go out with me?
Unclear. Ask again.
Will she go out with me? The answer is no. It's like, no, get rid of that eight ball. I had one of those eight balls. I mean, it was a good little joke, but it really wasn't basing my whole life on that. People listen more to people like Dr. Phil. Or when Oprah was on, you know, people, whatever Oprah said, whatever book she was reading, whatever she was doing, I got to do what Oprah says. People turn on Joel Osteen. Hey, what does Joel say about this? Not what God says about this. What are these experts saying about this? And sometimes they actually have good advice, you know? And you listen, you say, well, that makes a lot of sense. That's good advice. But we're not after good advice, y'all. We're after God advice. And there's a big difference in good advice and God's advice. There can be good places to go, but there can be better places to go. I remember when in around 1990 or so, when my dad had the stroke, we didn't know what was going on. And he had a tumor, basically cancer that metastasized and to his brain and in his lungs. And I was at home. And I called my dad up, and I was freaking out. Dad, you got to call the emergency because my garage is on fire. So I called my dad, who couldn't hardly communicate at that time. But I'm calling my dad instead of calling emergency. So my dad says in his wisdom, Paul, why don't you just call 911? And kind of slurring. So I said, okay. So I hung up immediately and called 411. And I got information. And it's like, this is stupid. I mean, I was making calls. And what happened, y'all, was we had a fireplace. And the fire had burned out, you know, that night or whatever. And I took the ashes and I put it in the garbage can. Well, they were still hot. I didn't know. I mean, we were just young and kind of crazy. And so I called 411. 911 would have been much better, but I called 411. So many of us, we go to good sources, but that was not the best source. And some of you are thinking, what happened to the garage? Well, I put it out, and Margie and I bought gas logs after that, so we didn't have to worry about that. But James talks about the challenge of us not seeking God first and seeking maybe human wisdom. He says this in chapter 4, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask God. So that signal blocker that gets in the way from hearing what God wants for us, what God's will for us, that first signal blocker is we just don't ask God. I think the second thing is we rely too much on our human logic. We rely too much on this. As a kid, we used to look at the clouds, and instead of saying, oh, it's cumulus, strato Sirius, and I'm Sirius, or whatever, all of those clouds up there, what we did, we try to put order to it and logic to it. Oh, that's a dragon. They're Snoopy. Instead of these just floating clouds. Because we had to have order. We had to know how things work. We had to know all this stuff. Logic. I tried to figure my parents out, how I could best manipulate my parents to get what I want. For example, I knew my mom was always going to say no. So I would ask her first, Mom, can I go over and spend the night? No. So I would go, hey, Dad, Mom said to ask you. Well, I don't care if she's okay with it. I'm like, okay, good. And then I would go and do it. I knew how to manipulate, and I thought I could figure my parents out. You know, how many times do we often try to figure God out? You know, if I just say the right amount of prayers, or if I just give the right amount of tithe, you know, if I name it and I claim it, God's going to do it. And we try to figure out how God's going to work. The problem is, the prophet Isaiah said this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God doesn't think like us. God sees the whole picture. It's His creation. He knows what's best and how things work and where things go and the best way to get there. And we don't. We see only these little steps. That's why we want and we desire and we get something, and then we find out it doesn't complete us like we thought it would. That new car, that new computer, that new television, that new wife or husband. You see, when it comes to the will of God, sometimes God's will is consistent with what we would think, but oftentimes it's not, because God is not bound by our humanistic principles. I mean, look at the disciples. You see, more times than not, Jesus defying human logic. Take the feeding of the 5,000 men, so there's probably 15,000 with counting the women and the children. And logic tells the disciples, Jesus says, hey, feed them, they're hungry. Logic tells the disciples it can't be done. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are we going to do? This is not a Captain D feast. You know, this is what it's not going to work. Logically, it's not going to work. But with God, it works. God doesn't go by our logic. Spiritually, Jesus proved that there was more than enough. You bring what you have, and He multiplies it. And they ended up taking up 12 baskets of leftovers. Everybody ate, and they still took up leftovers. That's how God works. And one of the weird things today as Christ followers, many of us make decisions based on logic instead of the will of God. And sometimes we'll give God the credit for that. For example, a job. I need a new job. So you get an offer to maybe move to another city with a substantially higher salary. It's got to be from God, right? It's more money. It's more money. And most people assume that's God's will, because we live in a materialistic driven society. So if it's more money, God must be blessing me. He's giving me more. So let's say you go to that city and you take that job and your marriage, which was finally clicking and your kids were getting along, now you're spending more and more hours at job. You're sacrificing your family and your kids. Was really that God's will? Or was that your desire to just get more money? Or on the other hand, it could be that you're right here and you're stuck in a place and you're thinking like, golly, you know, I don't know what I'm doing in this job. I feel like it's a dead end. God may be using you in that very moment to be a light or an example to somebody else in there. You don't know how God may be working through you to somebody else. Another example, God calls us as stewards. We manage the resources that God gives us. He tests us. He watches us to see if we're faithful because God loves to give more to those who are faithful. One of the greatest things that God allows us to do, if you think of the tithe, he says, okay, here's your earnings, 90% of it, the whole lion's share of it is yours. Just give the small part back to me and watch what I do with that. But we say, that 10% is going to help me out a little bit more. So we hang on to it and we find out that we're still trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. Most Christ followers today, we try to explain it away or whine about it. We don't want to do it. We grip onto everything materially because you don't know what's going to happen. I remember Y2K. Remember when 1999 was here and Y2K was coming? How many of you stocked up on toilet paper and water? A lot of people. I went out and bought a gun instead because I figured if you had the toilet paper and water, I was coming to your house with my gun. I'm kidding. Those of you watching online, I would never do that. I'm just letting you know. But sometimes what we think we're doing, we try to do it logically, and God is saying, no, I've got something much better for you. That's why we don't even understand when we say this peace that passes understanding. You don't know what I'm going through, Paul. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what you're going through. But you know what? I know someone who does, and he can give you a peace to get you through that storm. And when you get out on the other side, you can look back and say, yes, God's hand was with me. One of my greatest weaknesses is sometimes I'm too pragmatic, and I know that God's ways are higher than my ways, but I still think like, yeah. Like, okay, you know, we need to do this at the church. We need to do this at the church. Oh, no, we don't. God, you're in charge. Whatever you want to do, just lead us. And if we're doing something you don't want us to do, just take it away. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. I just take it back immediately because pragmatically, that's how I'm going to work. The proverb says this, though, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. In other words, trust in God. Give Him everything. Don't hold back. Just give Him everything and trust that He is going to do what He says. So the first signal blocker is we don't ask God. The second, we depend too much on our logic. And the third thing, and I think this is for all of us, we hear what we want to hear. We hear what we want to hear. We read too much into something and then we blame God and say, this is what God is showing me, when we were really just kind of seeing something into that. The Apostle Paul was telling Timothy to watch out. He said, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. We see people that do what we call church hopping. What they do is they'll come to a church for a while. Hey, this is my church. This is my church. They join the church and their families grow up in the church. But then maybe something happens. I don't know. They change the color of the carpet and you didn't like it. So you said, well, I'm not going to be there anymore. God's telling me to go somewhere else. And so you go to another church and you're there for a little bit until something happens there that just kind of gets on your nerves. Can you imagine doing that to your family? You know, you come in and your mom says this, or you come in and your kids do this, and you say, like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm getting a new family. I'm getting new kids. I'm getting a new wife. I'm getting a new husband. We wouldn't do that with our family, but the church family, it's just a church family. And so we hear what we want to hear. We surround ourselves with people who will tell us what we want to hear instead of people who tell us what we need to hear. We can go to God and pretend that He's the one telling us. I remember stupid things. Driving down the road thinking like, okay, I'm driving down to LaGrange to meet Margie. Should I call her first? And then I pass one of those lawyer signs on there, and you see the phone numbers, you know, and it's blah, 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 blah. But the last two digits are the last two digits of Margie's number. So God is telling me that I need to call Margie. And so I start seeing things, and I start pretending that maybe this is God's will. Some people say, like, you know, I'm driving, and, you know, I'm kind of feeling cramped at home. There's things going on, and you're driving. You see a for sale or an open house sign. That's God telling you, hey, you need a new house. You need to go and get a bigger house. You need to spend, even, you know, how many of us get those phone calls like, I'm interested in your property at 8091 Sonia Drive. Are you interested in selling? They don't even say Sonia right. I always, because the J, you know, it's like, we're interested in your property on Sonja Drive. And at that point, I'm like, well, I'm not interested in selling. Well, do you have any other property? No. If I had other property, I'd be there too or something. I don't know. No, I don't. But maybe because they keep calling, God's telling me, sell the house. Even though I haven't even looked for another house. And when I do, it's twice as much as what I just made. You know, it's God is not telling us through things like that, manipulating something that isn't there. People hear what they want to hear. And a lot of us go to God that way. We want God to bless our decisions instead of saying, God, what is your decision and how can I move in that? We don't ask God. We rely too much on logic. We hear what we want to hear. If you want God's very best, though, there is no shortcut. You want to know what God's will is? The Bible says that when you seek him, you will find him. So how do you seek him? I don't know how you do it. For me, sometimes I'll fast. Sometimes I'll get in the prayer room there. Sometimes I just go to my back porch away from everybody else just to find a quiet time for prayer. Some people, I've seen them, you know, they get down on their face on the carpet or on the floor. Some people pray when they're driving to work. Some people go on prayer weekends or retreats where they try to get away from the distractions of the world so they can just be in communion with God. Some people just, they don't know how to pray or they feel they can't do it. So what they do is they come alongside people, say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray with me? And so they have others intercede and stand in the gap for them. So whatever your style is, seek God, listen to him. Because when we ask, when we trust and when we listen to God, he will give us his peace. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Give it to God. And that's something that non-Christ followers can't even comprehend. That peace, even in the middle of confusion and not knowing what to do next, that peace which transcends all our human thoughts and emotions and our minds, we seek him in his presence. He gives us his peace. Starting in 2006, God was really laying on my heart to plant a church. And I was in a comfortable position for the most part. You know, I was an associate pastor, had a good steady salary coming in. And I just felt God was saying, Paul, we need to go deeper into the scriptures. Take people deeper into my word. Take people deeper into my word. Take people deeper into my word. I kept hearing it over and over again. So I went to Margie again, not necessarily to God first, except because I know God was saying that I wanted to see what her, because she's a good bellwether for me. So, hey, Margie, what do you think? Paul, you know, we've got a kid at Elka. We got a kid that we're going to have to, another kid that, you know, another son that we're going to have to put in private school soon, maybe. I don't know. It's like, okay, you're right. You know, I'm making a check. But God made my life so miserable. I mean, think about it. Starting a church, no money, no people, no chairs. We didn't even have chairs, y'all. We didn't even have a place to call home. It was nothing but a dream, and faith seemed so risky. And it was, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? Well, God made a way. God provided a way. I remember saying, Margie's go-to is always, Paul, we need to pray about this. And it's like, you're right, we need to pray about this. And so we prayed, and we were praying, and we were praying. And after about an hour, Margie came to me, and she's a lot smarter than me. She couldn't get there at first, but after about an hour, we're seeking God. Margie comes and says, I have a piece about this. It's time to move. And it was that piece I needed to hear from her. Job says this, agree with God and be at peace, and thereby goodwill will come to you. I love the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says, stop quarreling with God. If you agree with him, you will have peace at last, and things will go well for you. You ever tried to go against God? What happens? You know, you're going to find out that you don't have any safety rails, that you don't have any bumpers. You end up on your own. God will give that to you if you seek him. Not your human logic, not things that you can necessarily see or understand. Not the ways of this world, but his ways. Some of you are facing big decisions in your life. Some are relational, some are dealing with unforgiveness, some with health issues, some are struggling financially. Some of you, it's your children. Some of you, it's the people that you work with. And for some of you, it's a spiritual, something spiritual holding you back. Whatever decision you are facing, God wants to reveal his heart to you. Father, I just come to you as humbly and as thankfully as I know how to. And according to your scripture, Father, I just ask for wisdom. I thank you that you give generously to those of us who ask, and I thank you ahead of time for the wisdom that you're going to give us. Father, we give you our request, not knowing and not wanting to move without your direction. So guide us, Father. We're your sheep, and we will follow your voice. Give us the peace, Father, that passes all understanding, and we pray this in Jesus' name.